¡Órale!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin, Familia NFL Insider Series. We are in the thick of it. This is one of the best times to be following Familia FFB. Obviously, the season is incredible, but also the information that we get from this NFL Insider Series is nothing short of fantastic. I want to make sure also you are following us on YouTube, Familia. Give us a like and subscribe, por favor. Give us a little thumbs up, and we will, you know, keep coming out there and keep giving you great, great content. Also, make sure when you go to Underdog Fantasy, underdogfantasy.com, use the promo code FAMILIA23 if you want to do it in Spanish, FAMILIA23. I'm going to match you up to your first $100 in your first deposit. You deposit $100, Underdog's going to match you the next 100. So play best ball. It's the greatest practice for the NFL, for the real redraft season that's coming up. It's just the best of the best of the best. And speaking of the best of the best, Familia, you know, one of my favorite guests that we've had since I started this NFL Insider Series 2 years ago is my buen amigo to my side here. He's rocking that Expos hat, and which I just love it. It's the newer school, not the old school with the white background. But oh, Familia, when it comes to the Dolphins, he is the man I come to, not just for this, but I ask him questions all season long, and you know, every once in a while we'll even trade a couple lines on a Santana song or something like that. But Familia, let's welcome in buen amigo, Alan Pupar. Mi amigo, welcome, welcome.
Hola, Jorge, ¿cómo está?
Muy bien, cuando estamos juntos. Alan, you're very popular right now. You got your great work on alldolphins.com. You've also got your All Dolphins podcast on YouTube. Gosh, I mean, when do you sleep right now? Because right now this is supposed to be the dead period.
That's a very good question. When do I sleep? No, I squeeze in some time to keep myself fresh and try to make some sense when I do podcasts. I don't always succeed, but at least I try.
Oh man. Well, no, just great, great stuff coming our way. And, you know, this is going to be a great episode right here. So I'm going to dive right into it. A year ago, we were talking, it was a brand new coaching regime. We hadn't heard anything on, we didn't know what could be with Tua Tagovailoa, and you know, at times last year it was pretty explosive. It was one of the especially before the concussions happened. I still remember that game against the Baltimore Ravens where it was extraordinary offensive display. The concussions came, so you know, the big question is, you know, are they full speed ahead for Tua this season, and kind of what could be the expectations for the coming year?
Well, the expectations and the hope is that he picks up where he left off at the end of November before there was a dip, because you mentioned the concussions, and yeah, they were the biggest story as far as Tua, or one of the biggest stories as far as Tua is concerned in 2022. Including the last one against Green Bay on Christmas Day that ended his season. But there was a dip in the production of Tua, of the passing game, of the offense in December prior to that concussion, which the Dolphins certainly hope was just a blip, because through November, Dolphins were 8-3. The offense was, I don't want to say unstoppable because that might be a reach, but it was really, really tough to manage for opposing defenses. And then it took a dip, starting with a game against San Francisco, then against the Chargers, Buffalo, Green Bay. And the hope is that the Dolphins have found the answers to whatever opposing defenses were doing to counteract what the Dolphins did so well, and then that they will look more like the offense that was producing through the first 11 games. And that last season, which was a big step forward for Tua, was just the beginning of something even bigger, and that he can do that kind of production from start to finish.
Because this is a big season for him. I mean, you know, it being it, it this is the season where, you know, a lot of decisions could be made about his future, about possibly signing an extension. Hopefully he stays healthy, because that was a fun offense to watch last year. And I think when we talked last year, you know, I think the expectation was it was going to be more of a run based or a balanced offense, but they were number 12 in pass attempts on the season. And the rush attempts, they were number 31, but, with him, and I want to bring in a little bit of talk about the wide receivers, because they're just such extraordinary players, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Are we looking at a really, really kind of like narrowly focused passing attack on these two, where they could be taking way more than 50% of the targets?
Which is pretty much what they did last year. Yeah, yeah. And I think what happened last year is that Mike McDaniel came over as head coach after spending time in San Francisco, where he became known as a quote-unquote running game guru while he got here, and then the Dolphins got the opportunity to trade for Tyreek Hill, and that changed everything. Because all of a sudden, McDaniel found himself with the fastest wide receiver in the NFL and maybe the second fastest wide receiver in the NFL, or close to it. The kind of speed outside that I don't think we've ever seen right now in the NFL. And McDaniel, who's a very sharp guy, kind of thought to himself, yeah, running the ball is really great, but where this offense is going to be special is with those two speedster outside. And that became the focus of the offense. And I think it would be pretty silly to think that that wouldn't be the case. Now, the Dolphins added some depth pieces at wide receiver with Braxton Berrios from the Jets, Robbie Chosen, who last played with Arizona, who's also, by the way, very, very fast. Not to mention last year's fourth-round pick, Eric Azukama, who looked so good in training camp and then became a non-factor during the regular season. So they have a lot of options in the passing game, but there's nobody who can do what on that team like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I mean, these are guys who, like, first of all, scare opposing defenses like crazy, to the point where even with the wide receivers coach, Wes Welker, who used to be a pretty decent wide receiver himself back in his day, made the comment, I think it was in December, that he'd never seen like opposing defenses play like two high safeties, like on first down, because they were so scared of the threat of the deep play with Wall and Hill. And what you saw happening because of that, because of the coverage was so loose and teams were so scared of getting beat deep, is they would get this crazy cushion, run them off, and then, you know, cut in at 15 yards and be wide open with nobody around them, because they were so afraid of the deep speed. Teams made adjustments, as I discussed earlier, at some point, and began a little bit tighter, or dropping their linebackers way deep into coverage to make that throw a little bit tougher. And that created some issues, and this is where the Dolphins can counter. You mentioned the Dolphins finishing 12th in pass attempts. Well, they were 31st in rushing attempts, because they kind of neglected that part of it, because if a big play needed to be made, it's kind of easy to default to, oh, let me go to my two guys outside. And Mike McDaniel said after the season, he kind of regretted that a bit in a way, and that it affected the running game, that and some injuries that they had at running back and on the offensive line. But I think I just can't imagine that it's not going to happen again in 2023, where push comes to shove, who are the playmakers on this offense? It's Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I mean, so, and the Tyreek Hill addition last year also made Mike Gesicki, who's a very good receiving tight end, pretty much obsolete, mm-hmm. because his targets went to Hill and Waddle, who, I mean, they gobbled up pretty much all of the targets. And the Dolphins really didn't replace Mike Gesicki as a great pass catching tight end, because they don't need to, the way this offense is structured. So I would expect kind of the same thing, especially if teams, you know, can't figure out how to cover it, which is not easy. I mean, there are ways that it can be done, because it was done at certain points. But for the most part, the Dolphins had a lot of success, and it's very Hill and Waddle intensive.
Yeah, you know, Hill, there was a point where he had a legitimate shot at 2,000 yards. He slowed down, obviously, when Tua went out. That impacted the passing game, and then he had an ankle injury late in the season. But I mean, he looked spectacular, and it was fun. I mean, it was really fun to watch him in this new environment, because it looked like, I mean, it was. I think we talked a lot about, you know, him being more of a yak, you know, trying to be more of a yak person. He would be a yak receiver, which he hadn't been so much in Kansas City. But more of the same. I mean, he's going off as either the third or fourth wide receiver in fantasy drafts. But I could see him finishing as the overall wide receiver one if this offense hums and you get to and you get 17 games out of Tua.
No, I think he certainly has the potential. I mean, you did mention that he had some like minor injuries that he was able to play through, but it affected him to a certain degree. Tua leaving didn't help, even though he did have a big game. He had a huge game, 177 yards against Minnesota in a game where Skylar Thompson and Teddy Bridgewater split the work while Tua was recovering from his first concussion. The issue there again is consistency. I mean, 2,000 yards. I mean, that's huge. That's huge. And at some point, there will come a time where opposing defenses, you know, are going to make it a point not to let this guy, you know, beat us. Which is where Jalen Waddle comes into play, because you double team Hill all over the place. You can only double team so many guys, and at some point. And as I see, Jalen Waddle, best wide receiver too. If he's not, he's certainly up there. I mean, I have a hard time, because he's a guy. And in turn, you were talking about Yak too. Waddle's the one who actually had more catches where he caught it really short and then took it long. Hill did a lot of his work getting open downfield, and I'm talking about getting wide open. We mentioned the Baltimore game earlier. Oh, and one of them was a complete busted coverage where they basically there were two DBs around Hill near the line of scrimmage, and in a very unique strategy, they decided that neither of them was going to take Hill as he raced down the field, and it didn't work out very well for him. And there's another one where he split a double team and was wide open behind the defense, and that happened throughout the season. And didn't matter, it happened with Teddy Bridgewater when he was a quarterback. There was a play against Cincinnati where he got completely wide open behind the defense, whereas it was more Waddle who got the short passes and took him deep. I remember there was a play against Green Bay. It was a short crosser, maybe, I don't know, 8 to 10 yards, and it became an 86-yard touchdown because the way he caught it, full stride, and he had the angle, and nobody could catch him because it's the kind of speed that he had. And the one guy who's actually running down the field and staying with him is Hill.
I remember that play. that was such an incredible highlight watching that. And but yeah, that's the thing when it comes to, I mean, the two of them, you talk, I mean, how much double, he didn't see much double coverage last year because a lot of the times the coverage would be slid to Hill to try and stop him. And but Waddle, he saw 117 targets last year, over 1300 yards. It's hard to expect anything but more of the same. And he's really, really going to deliver on where he's being drafted, which is second or third round right now.
Yeah, and there, unless I'm severely mistaken or my memory fails me, there wasn't a whole lot of man coverage played against the Dolphins last year. Again, precisely because of the speed, the unique speed that you're dealing with. One method that was used is like the Chargers, for example. And it was crazy because the Chargers – went into their game, the Sunday night game at SoFi Stadium, all kinds of injuries on defense. And in the secondary, I don't even know they had one starting DB in the lineup, and they got up on those two guys, and they got physical, and they were all over them. Nobody covered Hill and Waddle like the Chargers did that night. And a lot of times they weren't open. A lot of times Tua was trying to throw into traffic, try to make like the perfect squeeze pass, and it didn't work out. I mean, it was a rough night for the offense. And they only got their two touchdowns because on one play, the DB fell and Hill was able to get behind them for a long touchdown pass. Another one was a fumble where Teron Armstead like eventually kind of like shoved the ball back and Tyree picked it up and erased everybody. But other than that, I mean, they covered those two guys really well. But again, that's easier said than done. And the margin for error for DBs when they're covering those two guys because of the speed they have is really, really small. If they're not on their – I hate saying their P's and Q's. Pardon the Dolphins are going to make him pay.
Oh, man. Well, this is where you're going to earn your pay. We're going to talk about the running back room. I mean, it's Achain, Wilson, Devin Achain, Jeff Wilson, Jeff Wilson Jr., Raheem Mostert. Right now it's the three-headed monster. I'll ask you about the elephant in the room that's possibly from Minnesota, but these three, they all have extreme speed. As I mean, Achain was a track champion, but Wilson and Mostert have any injury concerns. They're older. Achain is on the smallish side. How do you see this kind of breaking out on an offense where you mentioned it? Only 390 rushing attempts last year, number 31 in the NFL, and I know McDaniel wants to increase that a little bit more. Is this going to be kind of like a three-headed monster, or could somebody stand out if it's just these three?
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing the Dolphins going with like a pure workhorse type of guy. Having said that, what happened last year is there was a point they were rotating them pretty evenly between Jeff Wilson Jr. and Mostert, and then Mostert got hot. And then he got the bulk of the work. Wilson had a good game. Now you bring an Achain into the equation. You didn't spend a third round pick on him just to have him, take notes on the sideline. And he is a Mike McDaniel pick. That's Mike McDaniel looking at him and going, oh, more speed for my offense. The wheels are spinning. What can I do with this? And it wouldn't surprise me if at times you'd see a package with Hill, Waddle, Achain, and Mostert on the field, because Mostert's really, really fast. And I know you mentioned Wilson, but Wilson's got decent speed. Mostert's really, really fast. Achain's really, really fast, and we already addressed Hill and Waddle. So you put those guys in the lineup at the same time. I mean, that's all kinds of stress on the defense. So I could see that happening. What I can't see happen, and here's the other thing, too, is the Dolphins don't have a pure short yardage / goal line runner. They don't have a big back. In fact, a lot of times last year in third and one, when they did run the ball, because they also threw it a lot, way more than they should have, but that's a different topic. They ran fullback Alec Ingle quite a bit, and then a couple of times they had Durham Smythe come in motion and take the snap. So they do not have a big back who's going to be your typical, oh, I could draft him in fantasy because he's going to give me a lot of short touchdown runs. They don't have that guy. They're just as likely to throw touchdown passes from the 1 or 2 yard line as they are to run, for the Austin Ecklers of the world, who's going to get, 15 touchdowns, and all of them are 1 or 2 or 3 yards. That's not the Dolphins. So in terms of fantasy, I'm going to say the same thing I said last year: proceed with caution when it comes to the Dolphins. I just have a hard time picturing, and even if it comes like to PPR leagues, yeah, you figure Achain's going to catch passes. Jeff Wilson's the one of the group. I wouldn't expect a whole lot of catches from him. Maybe most are a little bit, but it's not going to be high volume for any of those guys, I wouldn't think. And if it's of those three, the logically the one who's going to get the most carries if he stays healthy is Mostert.
Probably, yeah. I mean, Achain, kind of a little bit of a hybrid. More, he'd probably be more of the three, the one who gets most work in the passing game.
Probably, yeah. But you got to be careful with his workload because, as you mentioned, he's pretty small. I mean, he's really, really fast, so he's not easy to catch. But when he gets caught, those are big guys he's going against.
Yeah, exactly. Like I remember Chris Johnson was a small guy too, but they never caught him. I don't know if Achain's going to get that kind of workload. But yeah, I could see a lot of games where he's getting, 10 to 12 touches total, and then including targets, catches, and stuff like that. And it could be a pretty important weapon for them. We talked a little bit about this beforehand. We're recording this in middle of June. Minicamp has just ended for the Dolphins, so there's a bit of a lull. But Dalvin Cook is out there. He's from Miami. I know you're going to report on what happens, but the tea leaves are out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts here, and the one thing that stands out, the connection is clearly obvious. He's from Miami. He was a star in high school at Miami Central High. He's got family in Miami, would love to play for the Dolphins, but he's also an NFL player, so money's going to be a factor. Mm-hmm. And we also know that the running back market is not great. So the question is any team going to want to give him the kind of money that he wants? And exactly how much does he want? And I think if it's close, if the Dolphins come up with some kind of offer that's close to some what another team is willing to offer him, chances are he signs with the Dolphins, partly to play for the hometown team. Also because Florida does not have a state income tax.
Oh, yes.
That's always a factor. The other part of it from the Dolphins, considering all the moves they have made to really go for it over the past couple of years, Tyreek Hill, Teron Armstead, Bradley Chubb, Jalen Ramsey, it's very difficult to envision them passing up the chance if they can get Dalvin Cook at a reasonable price to add somebody who, while they have depth at running back with a lot of capable players, they don't have anybody who's as good as Dalvin Cook. And that's not even a question. And then the flip side to that is, if you sign Dalvin Cook, then does that make the pick of Devon Achane completely, I don't want to say useless, but, kind of irrelevant at that point, because how many touches are going to be around for all the running backs? Dalvin Cook has said he wants to go somewhere where he's going to get the ball a lot. Well, I think there's only so many touches to be had for the Dolphins for a running back, because, again, the focus of the offense figures to be and should be, if we're going to be honest about it, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So it's one of those where it seems too obvious that eventually Dalvin Cook's going to wind up in Miami, and yet there are a lot of reasons why he shouldn't wind up in Miami. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm dancing around the whole thing well or not well. It's a really interesting dynamic. But let's say it's 50-50. He does wind up with Miami.
I think you nailed it, because honestly, probably things change by the day when it comes to Dalvin Cook. I mean, his mind's going to change. You're right. He's going to follow. He's going to do what's best for Dalvin Cook and his the running back. Their shelf life is short. So I expect that he would like to be close to family. I mean, I've always heard that players love playing close to home, but yeah, we'll see where he ends up. You know, one thing I wanted to ask about the offense that I want to get your thoughts on it. I always keep an eye on teams from good weather cities or dome teams, and especially the Dolphins being in the AFC East, where there's potential for three bad weather games late in the season in Buffalo, New York, and New England. They go to New England and Buffalo. Those trips are done by October 1st.
Correct.
Is that could that be to me that has me more wheels up on this offense? I know they've got that trip to Baltimore in Week 17, but I'm much more excited that they're not going to have potentially weather impact games.
Yeah, the two that stand out as potential impact weather games are the Jets the day after Thanksgiving, and then Baltimore. Mm-hmm. The next to last game of the season. And it's not so much the cold. And again, there was a whole question of can Tua play in cold weather last year. Well, that stemmed from this performance in the Tennessee game the previous season, mm-hmm. where it was rough. And I'm being very, very polite there. But the issue there wasn't so much that it was raining that day. It was the wind was blowing too. It was cold, it was rainy, and it was windy. And I think with Tua, the issue is going to be if it's windy, because – Tua's very, very accurate, anticipates very well and all that, but he's got arm strength limitations that are very clear. So if the wind's kicking up, that becomes an issue. So it's not necessarily so much, is it going to be cold? Is it going to be windy is the bigger issue. But the fact that they get – the flip side, though, of getting Buffalo – and this that doesn't really relate to fantasy, though, but the flip side of getting Buffalo and New England on the road early – is now they get Buffalo at home in the regular season finale, not early in the season, where I would offer that there's not a team in the NFL that has a bigger home field advantage than the Dolphins early in the season because of the configuration of the stadium, where the temperature is basically 20 to 25 degrees higher on the visiting sideline as it is on the home sideline. And as somebody who's lived here now for a very, very long time, let me assure you, that sun beats down on you bad.
I, you know what? I learned that a few years ago. So that's always been something I keep in mind, you know, through like October, where exactly it's like, okay, when I make my recommendations, I'm like, okay, remember that other sideline, they're going to get worn out. Like that Buffalo, the game against Buffalo. I mean, they looked like that game looked like war by the end, the way those, so many guys were on the, you know, just strewn out on the field. So a couple other things. The offensive line was rebuilt last year with Terron Armstead. It was a group. Yeah. What kind of the state of the offensive line right now?
Well, we got thrown a bit of a curveball in the offseason program with Liam Eikenberg working at center, but then he told us in an interview that he never played center before. And the assumption all along was that Connor Williams would be back for his second season at center after being a guard with Dallas, mind you, before coming to Miami. And then the Dolphins signed Dan Feeney, a veteran guard / center, to ostensibly be the backup at center. While he didn't work during the practices open to the media in the offseason, I think he had a compression sleeve on a leg. And then they had Lee Meichenberg taking snaps at center, which was kind of like, because the assumption all along was there's going to be the same offensive line as last year with Armstead, Eichenberg at left guard, Connor Williams at center, Robert Hunt at right guard, and Austin Jackson at right tackle, with the hope that Eichenberg, former second round pick, Jackson, former first round pick, take a step forward after having yet to really establish themselves as, you know, bona fide NFL starters. They also added former Patriots first round pick Isaiah Wynn, who's got some left tackle experience. He's not playing there for the Dolphins because they have Armstead. Also can play left guard. So does he factor into the equation as far as the starting lineup is concerned? Tough to say at this point. I think the hope is that the young guys that they have take the step up. Armstead is able to play. Played 13 games last year. Still has yet to play an entire season in his whole career, as good as it's been. And that makes a difference because I know everybody focuses on Tua being out when the offense struggling during that time. Well, Armstead didn't play with when Tua was out. And that didn't help either because that offensive line is not the same when Armstead's not in the game. That's a fact.
Fantastic. The other side of the ball, one of the big acquisitions, it was actually, yes, Jalen Ramsey, you know, from my hometown Rams. So that was rough, but I thank him for helping the Rams win the Super Bowl, the Ram fan in me. But Vic Fangio joining there. And, you know, he's considered one of the great defensive minds out there. What could that be from defending against, I mean, the pass? I think this is going to, if I were to say, this is going to be one of the better pass defenses in the NFL. But also, how do they shape up against the run?
Yeah, the possibilities are really, really interesting when it comes to the defense because it's not only the addition of Vic Fangio, and I did a story on alldolphins.com a little while back where I went back and researched, and the immediate impact statistically that Fangio has when he joins a new team as a defensive assistant is astonishing. Like, the average goes up in the rankings for total yards allowed and total points allowed. I believe it goes up 10 spots. Improves by 10 spots the first year Fangio joins a new team. So you add that to the fact that they also added Jalen Ramsey. Xavien Howard, the hope is that he's healthy now because last year, even though he made the Pro Bowl, he'll be the first to tell you that was a joke he made the Pro Bowl because he wasn't right all year physically. He tweaked a hamstring or a groin, I'm not sure exactly which one, but early in the season played like at less than 100% pretty much the whole season. Wasn't the same guy. When he's right, to me, he's every bit as good as Jalen Ramsey, and you know how good Ramsey is, if not better. Emmanuel Ogba was done by 6 or 7 games into the season, and he had 9 sacks the previous 2 seasons. So there's an awful lot of potential, and the way he does the defense as well is it's all about like disguising what he does after the snap. Maybe a little bit more zone coverage than what the Dolphins used to do, which was very man coverage intensive. And if that gets Xavier Howard's eyes on the quarterback quicker, as opposed to having to shadow the receiver, Xavier Howard has no peer when it comes to playing the ball among cornerbacks. That's crazy. And they also have a center fielder at safety in Javon Holland, who also has the ability to become a ball hawk. So I think the possibilities are really, really intriguing when it comes to the defense. As far as stopping the run, that to me, if there's a concern on defense, that would be it. They were very good last year for most of the season. And it almost seemed like it's crazy to say, but I mean, because please don't throw out the, I mean, other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? it was like, for most of the season, they gave up like maybe five really, really long runs. And then that you take those away and the opponents were averaging like 2 yards a carry. I mean, it was like crazy. And we mentioned Dalvin Cook. It's funny too, because in that game, when the Vikings played at Hard Rock Stadium, they did nothing on the ground the entire game except a 53-yard touchdown by Dalvin Cook. Late in the game, when the Dolphins were trying to get the ball back for their offense to get a shot at a comeback win, so they had everybody jammed up at the line of scrimmage on their short yardage play, and he busted it open at the line, and it was over. And then they had issues with scrambling quarterbacks. But for the most part, they were very good against the run. That was under the previous scheme, which was the Brian Flores scheme, even implemented with Josh Boyer as defensive coordinator last year. Will it be as good with Vic Fangio as DC? The hope, obviously, is that it is. But I would think the pass defense right now looks like it could be elite, whereas the run defense maybe enters as maybe a question mark. There's also very little depth on the defensive line for the Dolphins.
Oh man. Well, yeah. I mean, gotta make sure that, yeah, that depth on the defensive line is going to be, could be a question mark. But yeah, I do remember, you know, earlier in the season, I was kind of recommending a lot of running backs against them. And then I was seeing that kind of blow up in my face because they were much better against the run. And so, but yeah, you're right. That depth on the defensive line. Yeah. You need those big guys to kind of, you know, stop those gaps and be able to, hold down the run. Cause I keep hearing this is the time of year that all the head coaches and offensive coordinators keep saying, we got to establish the run. And then we realize it's a passing league.
Yeah, and mind you, there's 6 weeks before the start of training camp. I would be shocked if the Dolphins didn't sign a veteran defensive lineman at some point before then, you know, to supplement what they have. Cause right now they're paper thin.
Definitely. Oh, mi amigo. So, two things, mm-hmm. Just fun stuff. Any new, hot Mexican food takes? And we once went back and forth on Twitter on Santana. So I want to hear any good, caliente takes for you lately on food?
Not really. No, this is where I'm failing you. Remember telling you last year I was headed to Mexico. Family took a trip to Cancun last summer, which was spectacular and loved it so much. But I can't remember. It wasn't the food that I remember. It was just a great trip. So no, I'm gonna have to fail you on a great Mexican food take. So I hope you can forgive me on that one. I can't think.
You're always forgiven. Always forgiven. How about on the Santana side? We went back. I remember we went back and forth on Samba Pati one time on Twitter. That was
my ringtone. It's in terms of instrumental. If it's not number one for me, it's right up there. And then on my iPod, I'll give you another one. I don't know if you that came up the other day, which I absolutely love it. It feels like fire with Dido. Love that song.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Love that song.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, Samba Pati, Feels Like Fire, definitely. Samba Pati is, I think I agree with you. Pure instrumental, it's number one, numero uno. You could play it I could have it play on a loop in the background for hours and not, you know, while I'm writing or doing anything. It's just, it's that perfect a song. Just that perfect.
I'll give you one here that maybe I shouldn't admit because there was a faux pas on my part, but we were interviewing. It's one of our very first interviews with Dolphins offensive coordinator Frank Smith. And I was like standing next to him and I get a phone call while we're talking to him and I hadn't put it on mute and it was Samba Pati and he was like, that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Hey, if you're gonna get that kind of break in between, that's great. Oh, mi amigo.
Yeah, mine used to be it's the end of the world. It's the end of the world as we know, and I feel fine. So I think that's a little mellower.
Yeah, exactly. That REM, well, though, also my favorite REM song. So I'm with you on that one. Oh yeah. Oh, love that. Love that song. Oh, mi amigo. Thank you so much. Muchas gracias for doing this. You know, anything else you want to plug? I'm gonna put all the information.
Nope, that's it right there. Check out the podcast.
Yes, definitely. Give them a like and subscribe. Go to that right after you do this. Go to the YouTube page. Get that. How often are you going to be publishing podcasts?
We're trying to keep it at once a week right now. It's a dead period. Once training camp starts, it's going to be, if not every day, close to it. I mean, we're going to be doing it up.
Oh man, love it.
It's myself and my old Dolphins colleague Omar Kelly.
Oh yes. Oh, I follow him on Twitter too. Yes, great stuff. Great stuff. And this was great. Muchas gracias otra vez. Everybody, one more time, go to Underdog, underdogfantasy.com, Familia23. Going to match you up to that first $100. Make sure you're giving us a like and subscribe on Familia FFP on YouTube, Familia. Seriously, we're going to keep coming at you. Set those notifications because we're going to be coming at you all the way till about the beginning of training camp. We're just at the beginning of the NFL Insider Series. And this is some of the great, great information that's going to help you for the coming season, for betting, for fantasy, everything. Oh, familia, keep coming in because, hey, todos somos familia. Salud.